Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sark.
I'm glad to be here because
me too.
Last week we re-aired something because I was gone part of the weekend. I think
we both kind of took some trips.
Vacations, not restful ones. Necessarily. It's group vacations can be fun, but once you've juggled everybody and what everybody else wants to do, by the time you get back, you're tired. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and my sister was there with her three kids, and that middle child, he's a runner. Uh-huh. He's a runner.
Right.
Anyways,
so that was not a restful trip, but no, we are back.
Yeah, we are back. Mm-hmm. But it was a good time, and I got to see my niece and nephews. Do all this fun stuff and just to see their faces light up. It was a lot of fun, but I am tired, but I am glad to be back and I'm glad to be here with you and our guests.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You're not really just a guest though. You're
right,
here
part of the family.
Enough. Yeah. You're here enough. You're just a regular. You're practically one of the us.
This is Chris Woodward from the news department.
We're all one big heavy family.
We go down there every 4 weeks or so, and mm-hmm. we're like, beg Chris, mm-hmm. can you come talk some news stories with us because we think it's important for our audience. And I know we talk a lot about the news on this network, mm-hmm. but for our generation, for the young Christians that we try to reach, we really think it's important for them to know what's going on and how it affects them.
Yeah,
So I'm just going to go ahead and let Chris have it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to talk about.
Well, you know, I have the honor today of actually, and I'm excited to bring this up because it's a good news story.
Oh, really?
A rare thing this day and age.
I wish I had an applause ready.
Exactly. Yes. That's what we should have a soundboard.
Normally, my pronouns are doom and gloom. But today, I brought in a story that I think, should all be in prayer about. The Paris Olympics are now underway. Opening ceremonies have begun, and the reason I bring this up is because we have a story about a missionary who was on a recent AFR program called Exploring Missions. Mm-hmm. His name is Brian Berry, and he is a part of a missionary effort that has gone to Paris for about 3.5 weeks, mm-hmm. pretty much the whole time the Olympics are going to be there. Mm. And they're going to be part of an effort to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people and athletes that are in Paris for the Olympics.
Wow.
So it is an opportunity to share Christ with the world as the world meets in Paris to play sporting events or to compete in sporting events. What a fantastic idea. Mm. And so I think all of us should just bombard heaven with prayers that these people would be successful in meeting people and helping people learn about and get saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. So Brian Berry, his name, we have this on our website. The headline is Missionaries Taking Light of the World to the City of Light. Mm. And there's an epic quote in here. I'm really geeked out by the story. I've been excited about it. I've actually aired it a couple of times at different times on our newscast. But he says, we will have an opportunity to reach people with the gospel that we could never reach by going to their country, talking about how they're coming from all over the globe, many of them from countries that are closed to Christianity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be able to meet somebody from, I'm throwing a country out there, Pakistan, to tell them about Jesus. There are Christians in Pakistan, but it's mostly closed to the idea of Christianity itself. Now, here's how it works. They're gonna have people that are going to be passing out tracts and whatnot, and those things do contain the verses we all know in our efforts to try to share people and walk them through the process of salvation. Mm-hmm. But in addition to those cards, there's going to be a QR code that people can scan with their smartphones, because who doesn't have one of these things now? And that will give them a video and pretty much Romans Road, like in their own native tongue.
Wow.
So it is a really great effort to, again, meet people in one spot on the earth. And they're even going to be helping people get in touch with missionaries or learn more about Jesus after they depart Paris and go back to their countries. So, again, I think we should all pray for this, because it is an effort to share Jesus with people that we're never going to meet, mm-hmm. never going to see again. And we pray and we hope that they're going to go home and tell somebody about something they heard from a missionary in Paris.
That is an amazing story. Like, that blows me away, because, I mean, I was just thinking, like, oh, wow, going to Paris, and, you know, usually we don't think of sending missionaries to a place like Europe. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, of course, there are countries who actually send missionaries to the States here. So everywhere needs preachers who preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. But I didn't make the connection until you brought it up that this there's going to be a lot of people from all over the world at this location. People from China, people from places that, like that are completely closed off from.
And these governments are allowing these athletes for this short period of time to leave their home country and to come compete.
Yeah.
For a few weeks. That, I mean, I didn't think about it. That's such a prime opportunity. If you if you can have the money to take the trip and go, that is such an opportunity.
Yeah. So I love that. That's a beautiful story. And I'm hoping that, you know, this continues, that it's not just this one time, but like in the next, this happens, what, every 4 years, every 2 years, if you count the Winter Olympics, I think. So I hope that this happens all the time. So, I mean, if you find yourself, I mean, you probably don't, but if you find yourself in the place where the Olympics are taking place, then that's a prime opportunity for you. But also just to pray for these people and Christians anywhere where these people, where people will come and from all over the world. Oftentimes those mission opportunities happen in our own backyard. We just need to be aware of it.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, our own backyard, a lot of people are going to have watch parties. Those are pretty common during the Olympics. That is your mission field, so to speak, to talk to your friends or relatives, neighbors, whoever it is that you're meeting with to watch the Olympics.
Right.
That's an opportunity to reach them in that moment because a lot of times a network announcer will mention maybe the background that this athlete comes from. It's not uncommon to see somebody with a headscarf. It's not uncommon to hear this young lady on the gymnastics team referred to as being a Jew or something of that sort, a Jewish person. So, you know, that's an opportunity to share your faith with your friends to make sure that they are where they need to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, I think a lot of times, and not that sending missionaries, you know, around the globe is a bad thing. It's not.
Right. It's absolutely.
But sometimes we neglect the people in our own neighborhoods and the people just down the street, and people in our own family. I mean, like I think about the family gatherings. I have a huge family, and there's so many, and they're. I can't know everybody's heart and know where everybody's at, but I can look at my family and know with that number that there's a high chance that several of them are not bound for heaven.
Right.
And have I spoken to them lately? When's the last time I talked to them?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so maybe that'll get you to thinking. And also think about these people as they travel, pray for their safe travel and pray that seeds will be planted. And maybe these Olympic athletes are not the ones that are going to be reached. Maybe they'll, like Chris said earlier, they'll be taking it home. And maybe there's somebody there that they know that has been spoken to before or has that had that seed planted. And this is just the water on the seed. Who knows?
I didn't think about bringing this up, but it just occurred to me. A lot of churches, Baptist, Methodist, what have you, insert denomination here. They are behind efforts to try to train and equip national pastors, meaning people from that country. They're trying to train them up, teach them how to reach people with the gospel. So that way you don't have to continue to send somebody from hypothetically Kansas to Kenya to try to share Jesus, right? You find a Kenyan that can reach his own people. He knows what's on their mind. He know he knows the situations they face better than the guy from the Midwest.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with sending anybody from the United States of America abroad, but you know, this is all the more reason why your church needs to be funding missions to help whatever your denomination is train and equip national pastors, because these people will be going back home and they need somebody to help them stay in the faith, to grow in the faith, and not just, you know, do like a lot of people and let it kind of fizzle out.
Right. Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Another story that we've covered in recent days, I'm not sure if people are aware of this, given all the other stuff that's dominated the news cycle for what seems like 10 years now. but there was a fire at First Baptist Dallas in Texas.
Oh, wow.
This is the same church where Pastor Robert Jeffers preaches. And we interviewed him. Our Steve Jordahl did a story on this. Our headline is Symbol of Endurance to Return to Downtown Dallas. This is a church. It's an historic church. It's one of the most iconic sanctuaries in America. Jeffers told us. He went on to say the presidents have worshipped there, from Woodrow Wilson to Gerald Ford to George Bush, but it's also a place of many spiritual memories. One of the things that I often look for and share if I come across a story about a church destroyed by fire, tornado, flooding, what have you, I always look for that quote from like the pastor or the person that's been there who always gives you that comment that's going to help you keep on keeping on. Mm-hmm. And kind of remind us of what's really important. There is a quote from Pastor Jefferson here that says, there was no loss of life, even though we had 2,000 Vacation Bible School children in the complex just 2 hours before the fire broke out.
Wow.
He goes on to say, this is a reminder to us that the church, big C, mm-hmm. is not really about brick and mortar. It's about people.
Mm.
And that's one of the things that I think we lose focus on in America, at least.
Yes.
You know, we all have the missionary that comes from somewhere during missions conference that they're showing a video of a worship service and they got like four poles and a piece of tin.
Yeah.
And they're happy, right?
Yeah. They're proud of that.
Yes. Yeah. They love it.
You know, and you're proud for them because they worked hard to get to where
right.
they are. Yeah.
And I think we just need to remember that church is us.
Yes.
It's not where we're meeting to yes. worship the Lord. It's not the color of the carpet and whether we have the good K-cups mm-hmm. to go in the Keurig in one of our four lobbies.
Right.
Okay, it's us and what we're doing to reach people, especially the lost.
Exactly. It can be, especially here in countries like the States, and I imagine like England and other more Western countries, we can kind of get caught up in that churchy culture
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I go to this church and this is what our church does. And we lose sight of, yes, that is your local family. And that's a wonderful thing to have. And there's probably several different local families in your area that you should probably be on good terms with. But the global church is something that is a very beautiful thing to meditate on. And in the past, when we've done the Orange Letter campaign,
mm-hmm.
Things like that where we just kind of sit back, we zoom out a little bit, and we consider brothers and sisters all around the world. And look, we do not agree on everything. There are some things we have big disagreements on mm-hmm. That aren't quite important. But we are all gathered around the primary things of the gospel, and yeah. that's where our true unity is, and that needs to be celebrated more than we find ourselves doing, I mm-hmm. think, and meditating on it. And I think that'll do us a lot of good and help us to kind of get out of our just the ruts that we get in when we're so used to this climate and this culture of yeah. churchiness here. We need to zoom out a little bit and consider the global scale of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've said it before, especially during our Orange Letter campaign. Have you ever been traveling before
mm-hmm.
and found out somebody near you, maybe on a plane or just wherever you're at, and you find out that they're a believer, and you immediately go from strangers to family
mm-hmm.
in the yeah. span of a second. And in that moment, you have found your sister or brother in Christ.
Right.
And, I mean, that just opens up, like all the barriers are gone.
Right.
We are family. Let's talk about the Lord. And that is just, like, I mean, nothing that happens with, I mean, I've never seen it with anything else.
Right.
Which I don't think I meet many strangers, but I always have, like, when you meet somebody new and you're just like, I don't know you, got to put up these shields because I don't know you.
Yeah.
But it's like, when someone's like, hey, can I tell you about the Lord? And I'm like, we can talk about the Lord,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
And then before you know it, like it's mm-hmm. it's like we're not strangers anymore. You're family, and that's
right.
just to me, it's something so special.
Yeah, and I think it's even really special when you know that there are differences. Like maybe they come from a different place than you, and a completely different cultural background, or maybe they're just of a different denomination, but you still have that unity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it's the most powerful, when you see, wow, we are really united on a level that's really, really deep, that goes beyond, you know, secondary issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One other topic is this one, again, from our Steve Jordahl. Regarding religious liberty, every state could do better. This is based mm-hmm. on some new research that's out there, and again, it finds that when it comes to issues like religious liberty, every state could do better. A lot of people, I think, have the false mindset that red state, great. Blue state, not so much. Apparently, this is an issue with pretty much every state, and I bring it up because we are all here today because of things like religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And while many people are going to vote this November for reasons including the economy, border security, crime, things of that sort. All those are great reasons for you to vote. But we also need to find out where our legislators are and candidates are on the issue of religious liberty. If we don't have religious liberty in this country, we can't live and operate businesses according to our faith. We can't say what we want to and need to on the airwaves like this show. We can't have an AFR without religious liberty. So while you are engaging your lawmakers, and you should, and politicians on issues that I mentioned there, economy, border security, crime, we also need to figure out where they are on religious liberty. Find out whether or not they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yeah. That's your opportunity in that moment to share truth and apply scripture with that man or woman.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Well, the thing is I realize that we do live in one of the freest countries. We are able to speak. We are able to do what we're doing right now.
Yeah, nobody's going to come knock on the door and take us away.
No. I mean, and the thing is, though, if you don't start fighting for those small what we consider the small battles for your religious liberty, the day will come when you don't have it anymore.
Right.
You don't wait until it's slipping away and then, like, completely slipping away before you say something.
Yeah.
And so you have incidences, and we've spoken of this before, when it comes to baking a cake or doing a flower arrangement for a couple, where you're allowed to say, oh, I don't agree with that, and I don't have to serve this person for this purpose because I don't agree with it. Yeah. It is against my beliefs. Mm-hmm. And in our country, like, we should be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so you start there. You start on those stories, and you fight for your right as a Christian. Mm-hmm. And then then hopefully in 100 years, I mean, I won't be here.
Right.
Unless something happens and they finally figured out the immortality thing.
But finally.
Finally. I've been waiting on it.
Elon Musk is on it.
Yeah, they want to put my consciousness into
a robot.
We have
eternal life. What are you talking about?
Exactly. There you go. There you go. But no, but like in 100 years, you know, should the Lord not return before then, you know, maybe AFR or in other networks like it will still be on air or doing, it'll probably look a lot different, but we'll still be able to speak freely about our beliefs.
Yeah. It's very important. I think it's part of this country's fabric, DNA, is things like freedom of association, freedom of the press, being able to express what you believe in a free marketplace of ideas where everyone else is also able to do that and disagree or agree with you. That's a non-negotiable when it comes to the identity of this country. And I think that is a very precious thing. No one should be allowed to take that away from us. And so, like you said, we need to start now being kind of vigilant. Even though we do have that and we do enjoy that today, we have seen instances, small instances here and there, where there's a little bit of encroaching on state level or county level. We just need to be wary about that and just be vigilant and make sure we're setting up those safeguards for everybody, so that, one, the gospel is unfettered, you know, and able to spread freely and bring glory to God, but that also people are just able to express themselves freely without fear of the government coming and hauling them away one day. Yep. And that's important.
If you've ever heard this program before, you've no doubt heard me bring in a story about some sort of disaster relief organization helping people with some sort of disaster situation. Today will be no different because in recent days, Samaritan's Purse announced they were going to do a lot to try to help victims of Hurricane Beryl. Now, Hurricane Beryl was really bad in Grenada, as we like to say in Mississippi, as well as other areas that are near that country. It also impacted Mexico, South Texas. So it was a lot of disaster or a lot of damage. Now, the U.S. fared a lot better than our neighbors in the other countries that I've already mentioned there. Nonetheless, our brothers and sisters in Christ at Samaritan's Purse are out there trying to help people that were impacted by this hurricane. It's kind of disappeared from the news cycle, again, because of the Republican National Convention, Biden getting out, all these other things that we haven't even gotten into. Again, I can't say it enough. Even if you don't hear about it on the news anymore, it's still a thing. And, and Samaritan's Purse is trying to raise awareness on it. Edward Graham, Franklin's son, was on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins earlier this week talking about the various things they're doing. They have sent a large aircraft to places impacted by Beryl. They're doing like field hospitals. They're feeding people. They're helping people with damage. All the great things that Samaritan's Purse has long done.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, well, that's great. I don't necessarily have the time. I'm busy. I'm trying to work two jobs in this economy. All these other things. We can all do stuff for relief organizations. We can, you know, we can go if we have the experience and the skills they're looking for, if we have the time, of course. Mm-hmm. Many of us can give, and all of us can pray.
Yes.
So I think we should keep those things in mind, whether it's Samaritan's Purse, 8 Days of Hope, whatever the relief organization is, Red Cross, when they do respond to things and they're, you know, out there fighting the good fight and doing what they should with a victim of something.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think when we hear about these stories of these groups like Samaritan's Purse, 8 Days of Hope, it might be easier for us to kind of sit back and be like, wow, I'm so glad that there's these groups out there who are doing this work and they're being the hands and feet of Jesus. They're going and helping these people. I'm rooting for them and cheering for them. But it's easy to kind of forget that the reason they can do that is because people are supporting them. One, through prayer. I mean, we never want to devalue that. I mean, that's probably the most powerful thing that you can do and the easiest thing you can do. You could do that right now. But also giving. And I think that for some people, that's sort of like a last resort. It's like, well, I'll pray for him, but if I really feel like it, I'll give it to him. It doesn't have to be much. Now, I don't know exactly the size amounts of donations that they receive or are able to receive, but that's just a quick Google away. You know, you can look at these organizations. If you can't go yourself, send a few dollars in your place, and any little bit helps. I'm sure that's the reason they're able to do these things is because they have people, and Christians especially, supporting them and backing them in this way.
And you can always use word of mouth, social media accounts, and share posts from these organizations and things like that. Mm-hmm. So more people see them. And if you know others who might be interested in going with one of these organizations and helping, you tell them about it and let them know. And they're real easy to find online and connect with.
Yeah. So. And like Chris said, you know, these things sort of disappear out of the news cycle when the next most exciting thing happens.
Yeah.
Why don't you be the voice of these smaller little news stories that need to have more life?
It takes years. I remember, I remember I was very young when Katrina happened. I was like 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going years later with a church group.
Exactly.
A few years later, and there was still so much work needed to be done and a lot of cleaning. So, I mean, it can go for years. Mm-hmm.
It really does. My hometown and not far from here, I'm from Amory, Mississippi. It was it really took one on the chin from a tornado over a year ago at this point. And there are still people with damage, still people, you know, impacted by that. And that kind of brings us into another topic. It's something my pastor has told us before, and it's a phrase that he got from someone else in his past. But, you know, be kind to everybody because everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
You don't realize the weight that people are carrying because they are dealing with something. Even people that you might think, well, you know, he had it coming. Or, like, everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you pass somebody or you just go, hey, how you doing? And here, good. How about you? Oh, I'm great. And you go about your day, like, truth be told, we're all carrying something.
Right.
So, you know, take a moment in those times to, you know, is that really true? Like, is there anything I can help you with? Whatever it may be. Because, again, that's an opportunity. And I need to even, you know, follow this advice more because sometimes we get so laser focused on what we are responsible for work-wise or home-wise or whatever else. You know, that we sometimes even sadly like avoid asking somebody, or maybe we just go, yeah, I'm good. And you keep on going, you know.
Right.
So we all need to do better and be more consistent in that area. One other thing here, it does involve the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not bad news. I'm gonna
not yet.
I'm not allowed to tell people who to vote for or whatever,
right.
But I am obligated by the word of God to remind people, including myself, that we all need to be in prayer for people that are in office or running for office. I've said this before. I'll say it again until Jesus returns and I get promoted to the Good News Network. But we all need to pray for the people in office as well as those running for office. We also need to pray that God would give us the person we need, not the candidate we deserve.
Yes.
The reason I say we should pray for all people running for office is because we already had one of them shot or injured in a shooting. Okay. And if that person's life was that much at risk on that particular day, who knows how much the other people are in jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's evil everywhere and there's lost and dying people who don't know Jesus at every rally.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what the devil might take advantage of with some person at some rally. So let us pray for the health and safety of the candidates.
Absolutely.
And that they can, you know, get out there and make their voices heard, and not have to live in fear that, you know, hey, when I take the podium, I might not be coming back. And the Bible does tell us that we need to pray for the people in positions of authority over
Absolutely.
Us. I've never read a version, and there are many versions of the Word of God in terms of language and interpretation or whatnot. I've never read one that included the words, unless it's one you don't agree with.
Yeah. I think Paul actually instructed us to pray and respect our authorities under the reign of Nero. So yeah. I think he knew a thing or two about that.
Yeah, and that was a different situation.
It was very different.
Whether I agree with one political candidate or not, they're not they're not dipping Christians in and setting them on fire for torches.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, but either way, it doesn't matter if you agree with, like they said earlier, like what side of the aisle they're on, their third party, it doesn't matter. Just be in prayer for them. Be in prayer that
Absolutely.
God will have an effect on their life and change their hearts towards Him, and that, you know, and that they'll that they'll be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. If we really believe as the church, if we really believe in the power of prayer, I mean, every election is an opportunity, but we can really intentionally take this one as an opportunity that no matter who wins, no matter who gets into the White House, we have an opportunity all together as Christians in this country to surround them all with prayer. And that can be something that we can guarantee that gets into the White House, is that whoever it is, they've been prayed for thoroughly by all Christians, and that counts for something. I don't think that that's just an empty thing to make us feel better. I think that actually has some power to it. So absolutely, thank you for the reminder, Chris.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about what Chris and our news team are doing, go to AFN.net, and they're constantly posting stories. They've got a news update video that goes up. So if you want to know what's happening around the world, please check out the website.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for being with us today. It's always a pleasure. And guys, until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.